What's good, everybody? This episode of the podcast is sponsored by DistroKid. They are the go-to for digital music distribution and the easiest way for musicians to get your music onto Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, TikTok, YouTube, and more. They offer unlimited uploads and artists keep 100% of their earnings in stores 10 to 20 times faster than any other distributor. Fastest payouts. They help out with automatic splits, cover song clearance, and all kinds of other amazing tools and templates to help you get the most visibility for your releases. I dig this company and appreciate their business model that offers more features than any other distributor at the most affordable price possible for solo musicians, bands, DJs, studio artists, and any other creators that are producing music in their home, and they also offer label services as well. They've got three different tiers to offer creators that start as low as $22.99 a year. That's just $1.92 a month, and even their top tier is just $7.50 per month. And the best part about DistroKid sponsoring the podcast is that they are offering Dan Cable Presents listeners and viewers 30% off your first year membership with DistroKid, making their already affordable prices even cheaper for you. Check out the link in the episode notes. I will also put it in my Instagram bio in the link tree. That link will give you 30% off that first year of service. Super stoked to have DistroKid sponsoring the podcast and cannot thank them enough for their longtime support of this thing. This episode of the podcast is also sponsored by Puff Coffee. Puff is one of my favorite coffee shops in Portland, Oregon. They've got a location off 28th and Stark in Southeast. Their coffee is delicious and everyone that works there is always super friendly. I had the pleasure of staying in their neighborhood for a month or so, and it was just a real treat to have this as my neighborhood coffee shop for a bit. And now I find myself going out of my way to get over there and get some coffee. Puff Coffee was started by the founder of Stumptown Coffee, and they are making small batch coffee roasted daily here in Portland. Their mission, to find, roast, and deliver the most delicious coffees anywhere. Their small batch process means that they get to keep things interesting with experimental blends and single origin gems while always keeping the classics on deck. They've got a variety of beans to choose from, and if you're not in the Portland area, you can order their small batch coffee straight to your home through their website. And you can use the coupon code DANCABLE, all one word, for 20% off a coffee subscription. Links for Puff Coffee will be in the episode notes. Big thanks to Puff for supporting the show and for their amazing small batch coffee. Now let's get into the episode. What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dan Cable Presents podcast. Thank you for tuning into the program once again. If this is your first time listening, thanks for checking out the show. You can find fresh episodes coming at you every Tuesday. And if you want to help support this thing in a free way, you can do so by clicking subscribe on iTunes, clicking write a review, giving the podcast 5 stars if you feel like it is deserving of so. And that will help propel this thing into the tops of those iTunes charts, giving it more visibility on the national and international levels, helping strangers find the podcast, and just a great way to contribute to the growth and sustainability of this thing. Appreciate the hell out of all the folks that have already taken the time to do so. If you're not listening on Apple, just hit like, follow, subscribe wherever you are listening from. Tell a friend about the podcast. Give it 5 stars on Spotify if that's where you're listening from. If you're watching on YouTube, definitely hit subscribe there. And check out the monthly playlist that I've been dropping every first of the month. Those are available on Spotify, pretty spread out genre-wise, and just a snapshot of what I am listening to throughout the month. Links for those will be in the episode notes. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Stoked to get into episode 407 of the podcast with Backhand from Salt Lake City, Utah. Self-acclaimed greatest band of all time, Utah's toughest team, and of course, God's favorite band. I recorded this episode out at the Treefort Music Fest out in Boise, Idaho, just a few weeks ago. And they were the band I was most stoked to see out there. And the live show definitely lived up to the hype. It was incredible. And seriously, these guys are just like one of my favorite bands playing music and recording music right now. And it was so rad to get to hang out with them. And I just had a blast. And I'm very pumped to get to share this conversation. We just had such a fun hang. And we certainly missed their drummer, Matt, who could not make the trip because he has been dealing with a broken leg situation for a while now. But big thanks to Jake, Ben, and Mitch for taking the time to chat with me. They've got a bunch of music to check out on the streaming services. If you dig this conversation and you enjoy the music featured in it, and for the love of God, if you live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you do not know about Backhand, you get yourself to a Backhand show as soon as possible. It will not disappoint. It is it's a very undeniable experience, and it was so cool watching them just take control of this crowd without really having to demand it from them. Just one of those things when you see it live, it is hard to not want to participate in the circle pit or jumping up and down or just seeing them go so hard with the live show. Can't say enough good things about this band. They're so good. And like I said, so stoked that I got to hang with them at Treefort. It was the thing I was looking forward to most. And it happened. We were supposed to maybe do this last year at Treefort, and they were unable to make the trip. So I'm very stoked that it happened. And I got to get ready to leave for tour. I'm about to go do this tour managing gig with this amazing jazz vocalist by the name of Veronica Swift and her amazing band. And I'm excited to hit the road with her for a few dates. So I'm going to go and I'm going to get packed up for that. And with all that, we are going to get into the episode. And to kick it off, we're going to play one of my favorite tracks from Backhand. It's called Be Nice. Also, if you like the music, be sure to check out the band's first full-length record that came out last year. It's called The Big Game. And without further ado, from Salt Lake City, Utah, this is Backhand on episode 407 of the podcast. Let's do the damn thing. You guys have any questions before we jump in? Language is not an issue. You may say whatever you want to.
Hell yeah.
I don't
hell yeah.
I can cuss.
You can cuss.
I cuss a little.
I'm the biggest cusser.
I try not to cuss because my mom watches everything that we do usually.
We'll keep it to farm swears.
So if I cuss, my mom's
ooh, farm
like,
swears.
You're cussing a lot.
What is a farm swear,
farm
Jake?
Farm swears, that's like shit, damn, hell,
bastards. Ass and bastard and piss.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all.
It's like the low key ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The chill
honestly,
ones.
Just anything but the F word usually, or the B word.
Okay.
I say the F word sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Mitch does. Time, Mitch might say the F word.
One time
the
most. Our mom was like, Mitch, do you say the F word? And he was like, honestly, Jen, I do. And she was like, Mitch. I'm sorry, Jen. And it was really funny. She wasn't actually mad, but it was pretty funny.
Just
that's amazing.
Yeah. I was going to ask, so y'all are from Portland, right?
I live in Portland. Bert lives in Sacramento.
Oh, cool. Sick.
We're both cool. Originally from Southern California.
Very cool.
Okay,
cool.
Sweet.
But yeah, I've been in Portland like 11 years now.
Oh, wow.
Portland's sick. Cool.
Crazy. How long have you been doing this?
8 years.
Whoa, oh, that's awesome.
That's so really cool.
This will be like episode 406 or something like that.
I think I remember sick. Seeing that. That's
cool.
Awesome.
That's sick.
Yeah. Y'all ready to do this?
Yeah,
I just
I'm
have
ready.
Some notes on my
freaking
phone too,
rich.
So
yeah.
Just I'm not just browsing Instagram while you're yeah. Just looking at the Treefort schedule for later.
I actually want to go
going
do
on
something
right now.
Right now.
cool. Well, I'm super excited to get to chat with you guys. Utah's toughest team,
that's
greatest
us.
Band of all time, yes. God's
yep.
favorite band.
Yes,
all the above.
True.
So pumped I got to see the live show yesterday. It was
yeah,
so
we're
good.
Yeah, there.
Honestly, I you guys are the band that I wanted to see most at this whole
thank
festival.
Thank you so much.
We're honored.
I was really bummed that y'all didn't make it last year. So I'm excited that you are here now and that we're getting to do this. Because, yeah, I've just been going hard on the music. I think I found out about your band just going through last year's roster of bands that were going to be here.
And oh, sweet.
I have been a fan since and watching all the videos and seeing parking lot circle pits happening. I was just like, dude, this is going to be the best show here. So I'm excited that I got to see it happen.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Can you guys talk to me about what was going on before Backhand, like music-wise? Like what were you guys doing individually, or have you always been playing music together? And I know there's like some family.
Yeah,
You guys are cousins.
We're all blood.
Yeah. All blood.
Jake's my older brother, and then Mitch is our cousin. He's our dad's brother's son.
And our drummer's my buddy from middle school. Mm-hmm.
So have you guys always been playing music together, or were there times where you guys were kind of exploring music individually?
Yeah, I was a rapper in high school.
Were you?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. A lot of people think I'm joking when I say that. Yeah, but no, it was not like I wasn't really trying to become a rapper, but I was doing that.
Okay.
And I was having a lot of fun, me and my friends. Our friend Gage, who just had a baby today, actually. Congrats, Gage.
Yeah, congrats, Gage.
Yeah, he was also there.
They were the Brontier brothers.
We were the Brontier brothers, yeah.
Do you feel like that was a pretty big help in setting some sort of foundation for you being like a front person for a band and giving you some time to flex the charisma? Because you're definitely killing it, Ben. It's you're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, I think all of you guys look like you're having so much fun playing these sets.
We are.
It's the most fun.
It's a blast.
There's something about a front person kind of commanding the energy of a crowd, and you just like, I don't know, just watching those videos early on and just seeing you introduce the band as the greatest band of all time, I was just, yeah, I'm all in.
thank you. To answer your question, I don't really think it helped that much. I honestly think maybe rapping made it harder to be in a band, because I wanted to, when we first started, Jake was like, dude, quit rapping.
He couldn't help
or were
rhyme.
You just like trying to,
not
like that
really.
Was not
think,
trying, but that was what was
I
kind
think
of coming
that was
out.
Just sort of like my inclination was to be like, writing.
Get the heavy flow on the on the art punk beat.
Just a little bit, but no, I mean, obviously, I think like anytime you do anything like musical creative, that like helps you with anything later on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sure it did help me.
Got a few reps in at the talent show.
Yeah, we did the talent show. We played some songs at prom and stuff. They would have us go up, and the DJ would like put on our song. It was honestly pretty sick.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. We had like one hit.
Hell yeah.
Locally. It was like a local hit. Yeah.
What about you two?
So I like when I was in 6th grade, that was the first time that was 5th grade. I did a talent show. I played Sunshine of Your Love when we lived in Texas. We lived in Amarillo.
Okay.
And I did that. I just played it by myself, and then we moved back to Utah cuz me and Ben were born here. Or here, not Boise, but in
Utah.
Salt Lake. Yeah, in Utah. And anyway, me and Matt and my buddy McCoy played a White Stripes cover at a talent show.
Okay.
But I've been playing guitar since I was like 11, but I wasn't ever in a band until I was in this band.
Okay.
And pretty similar to me. I mean, I wasn't doing like talent shows, but I've just been playing guitar for a while, and I just kind of jam with homies. I have good homies that we just played a lot of music together, just like in his basement.
Yeah.
And so nothing too public, just basement jams.
Was it somewhat of a musical family? Like, were there instruments laying around the house for
not for me.
Okay.
No, yeah. I'm in my family, I'm pretty much the only one that got into music, and then for you guys.
Yeah, I watched School of Rock.
Yep. That was
the
turning point.
I watched
that was
School of Rock, and then I played a lot of Guitar Hero. I was like, I gotta do this for real.
And what is the age gap between you, Jake, and Ben? Like You too.
Well, Jake is 26. Yeah. Okay. And then Ben is 23.
Okay.
And so it's like 22.
Okay.
So, yeah, me and Ben
and
are
then
a
Matt,
closer.
Who's not here, is Jake's age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And were you just like seeing Jake as your older brother picking up this guitar? Did that like help you want to get into music at all, or was it
yeah,
not really like that?
I was like gonna maybe try and learn drums, and then as a kid I was just like, I don't know, maybe it was like too emotional or something. I bought like a snare drum because my dad was like, I read online that like when you start playing the drums, like just start with like a snare drum or something and like then work your way up. And so, and I did that, and I was like, this is too hard, I'm bad. And I got like really mad, and then I quit really fast.
And so, he started yelling, and I was like, there could be something there.
And then we found it.
Yeah.
So how long did it take before, like, what kind of sparked Backhand happening and you guys all actually getting in a room and like starting to play music together?
So Ben was living in South Africa. And he was going to be back at some point in, like, it was, like, September of 2020 when you were supposed to be back. And I was also, like, traveling and stuff. And I had talked to Mitch. Because, funny enough, Mitch was kind of, like, AWOL for, like, a lot of years of us being, like, teenagers and stuff. Like, I didn't see him a lot. And then I went and hung out with him before I left on this trip. And I was like, dude, when I come back, we should start a band with Ben and my buddy Matt. And then COVID happened, so I came back early from my thing. Ben came back early from his thing. And then me, Ben, and Mitch went and worked an oil job in Texas, and we're like, we should really do this. And we talked Matt into moving in with us, and we just started there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jake scouted me out.
Yeah. And what made you think that Ben could like front this thing, like when you're thinking like
he's just always like had a lot of
had
like
the most
presence.
Swag pretty much.
that's the swaggiest guy I know.
He's a powerful looking guy.
And I don't know, he didn't play any instruments, but I wanted him to be in the band.
Hell yeah. You're like, you don't play anything, but you have to be in this
that
thing.
Did kind of feel like what it was in the beginning. It was like, you don't know how to do anything, so I guess you're just going to have to sing. Which
yeah,
I
no,
can't
I
sing either, so.
I had to do it with my brother.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's something like extra special about, you know, being connected to one another through blood and kind of getting to experience making music together and like doing stuff like coming out to music festivals and playing in different cities?
For sure. Honestly, I mean, it's kind of nice being related, because I mean, these two bicker a lot. We all honestly bicker pretty frequently, but that's the nice thing about blood is it never really gets too serious. It's because
cool. You know you're stuck with them, so you can't be like, should I quit this freaking band?
So you're just like, gonna see him later at home.
Like, yeah. Quit this band, but we still have to have Thanksgiving together.
Yeah. No, I think it is fun, and it's also like this is funny also, but it's fun for our family. I think like. So, like, we'll be at, like, Thanksgiving or, like, a Christmas party or just, like, at our grandma's house, and they'll be like, so where'd you guys go? Like, what were you guys up to? And then I think they have a lot of fun, and it's cool. Like, all of our uncles, at least on our side that we're related, have all come to, like, see us play in a show, and it's, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's cool because it kind of does make it, like, a strange, like, family situation. And
our grandma loves it.
Yeah, they'll buy our T-shirts and stuff. It's really
grandma's
funny.
In the pit.
Yeah, we have a big family, and it's nice. We get support from all of them. It's really cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure it makes them feel better almost that you all are doing this together.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Yeah.
I think so. And Mitch had kind of a strange living situation too, so they're always like, thank goodness for you guys. Mitch would have been off the rails.
I got grounded. Backhand grounded me a bit.
Mitch, you're the wild card of this group.
Honestly, I would say maybe Jake is kind of the wild card.
Jake's more the wild card for sure.
Just because Jake will be like, I'm going to do this thing, and you'll be like, he's not going to do that. And then he does it.
Give me an example of
he'll be like, I'm going to light off a bunch of M80s when we
we played this part of the song.
What the fuck? That was crazy. You just lit off firework, like a fire, like two fireworks yesterday during the set.
Yeah, I love fireworks. Yeah.
That sounds funny, but he just does love fireworks, dude.
He does love fireworks.
No, but there was one time we were playing in San Diego, and he didn't tell me. And he, like, I just turned around and I saw his guitar was on the ground. I was like, what is he doing? And then I, like, kind of kept singing or whatever. And then it was like, bop, 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 bop. No, I jumped, dude. It scared me way bad.
I had a string of firecrackers. But I just kind of recently started doing fireworks at shows. The first time, it was in Denver when I did it at, like, that one place. But then we did it in Portland, actually. We lit some fireworks.
Hell yeah! One of his best wild card things is disappearing before the set. Every time.
I can pee a lot.
I was trying to find him.
I don't know if every you heard single me, time, but like, Jake's literally, gone. We were trying to sound check, and I had to get on the mic and be like, Jake, and then I was like,
I was praying in the porta potty.
You were just talking to someone. I had been praying in the porta potty
right before that.
I don't know what like compelled you, like maybe that first time, to just like light off fireworks or firecrackers like during a set. Like,
I just had some. Yeah. I keep some like, on me.
And
yeah.
They're sick.
And I was like, what? The funny thing is, it's like the current socio-political situation. Sometimes I second guess lighting off fireworks in like a building, but it hasn't bit me in the ass yet.
Yeah, no one's got too upset about it. Yeah. We always try and stay somewhat strapped with fireworks.
They are just kind of it's a funny thing to have. It's like we just
keep people on their toes a little bit.
Very cheap entertainment. It's exciting.
It was incredible. I was just like, first I was like, where's he going? You know, when you like bailed from the stage, and then I saw you get down on one knee, and I was like, what the fuck is he? Is he just like taking a photo of the pit? And then I was like, oh no, he's lighting out fireworks. Incredible. It's never gone wrong though.
Hasn't gone wrong yet.
Okay. It almost went wrong.
There was one time we were in Grand Junction. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Our drummer, his leg's been way messed up for a while. That's why we bailed on Treefort last year, because he broke it like a week
broke
before.
Broke his femur in like four places.
Yeah, Mexico. Yeah. But so we had a dude filling in for us on a tour run that we did last summer. And I gave him some fireworks, and he lit them off while he was playing the drums, and he was going to throw like a string, it was like 20 or something, just little firecrackers into the crowd, but they started going off in his hand. And so then they were going off like as they were going past all of us, it went like right by my head.
Yeah, it was like hit the deck sort of, I was like.
Yeah, but that one, we still slid through.
It wasn't too bad.
You made America's Not Got Talent Instagram feed.
Maybe. I didn't see.
Has anybody never invited you back somewhere because of that particular thing of like lighting off fireworks?
No,
or
we haven't played any of the places we've done fireworks again, but I don't know if it's because we haven't been invited or if we just haven't come back through. We'll find out.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I guess the only... You did them inside that place in Denver where Gator had us, but they would have us back.
I think they'd have us back. They didn't say anything about it. I lit those ones off in a trombone.
No one's ever been angry or anything.
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing.
I think we are pretty nice, and we don't really, like... Me and Jake and Matt don't drink, or, like... And even Mitch, like, doesn't go super crazy. We're not, like... I feel like that's the only trouble we really cause.
Yeah, you're more just like causing trouble in that way.
Yeah, I feel like we're pretty tame otherwise.
Fucking around, doing pranks.
Yeah, we try to keep it mischievous.
Yeah. We don't even really... I haven't done a prank in a while.
Yeah, no, you haven't done a prank in a while.
What do you guys remember about like the first time y'all got like in a room together to actually play music?
It was probably Matt's parents' basement.
Matt's place. Yeah.
We had been, we were like in the process of moving into an apartment in Utah Valley, and the plan was to do music. So, and me and Matt had done that a lot, like just jammed in his house and stuff. And then once we all got together, it was like the height of COVID, so there wasn't really much of a possibility of doing live shows anytime soon, as far as we were aware. So we would just do like Instagram live stuff every once in a while, and me and Matt had written a song, and we just kind of learned it. Me and Ben were doing stuff in GarageBand for like a month or so beforehand, just like kind of trying to come up with stuff we could work with. But we were all listening to a lot of the same music at the time, and so when we came together, it just kind of made sense. It snapped in pretty quickly, and yeah, it felt right, like from the jump. It wasn't like a thing like, oh, maybe we should like try to get somebody else to do this. It just made a lot of sense as soon as we started. Yeah,
from the start, it was good chemistry.
Yeah. And was there you guys were like listening to a lot of the same stuff around that time?
Yeah.
So was there like a lot of intention of like, we're gonna make punk music or like things that are adjacent to punk?
Yeah,
or is
sure.
that just like what
I
came
think
out?
So we would always say like, let's start a punk band. We didn't really know exactly what it was gonna sound like, but so some of our earliest stuff is different than what we do now. But we were listening to a lot of the stuff that was coming out of like the like Brixton, like Windmill scene, like Squid and Black Midi and bands like that. So it was kind of like post-punky, like art-punky stuff that we were listening to at the time. But then we were writing stuff that was almost kind of like surfy, garagey kind of stuff a little bit, and then like new wave kind of stuff. I don't know. It was all different, but
also, yeah, just when we were out on that oil job as well, that was kind of like we were working, but also kind of zeroing in on like a sound. So we were listening to a bunch of different stuff, being like, oh, this will be cool, this will be cool. And so I think that us all being in that job together, we kind of zeroed in on an idea.
Yeah, a lot of shared references for things. So. Yeah.
And we grew up, me and Ben grew up listening to a lot of the same stuff. So we listened to a lot of like AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and bands like that when we were younger. And I still like a lot of that stuff. But Ben and I had like similar taste as far as rock music went, just like forever.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know, even listening to the records and then getting to see the live show, that it is as much rock and roll as it is like that punk rock spirit.
Yeah, I feel like it's more rock and we're more about rock and roll now. I don't know, but it's still punk rock.
The spirit
rock.
Of rock and roll, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're like still kind of figuring out what we're trying to do. Obviously, I think like overall, I think our main idea when we started is we're just all really into music that like makes people move, like makes them feel like they need to do something, whether it's like dancing or hitting each other or something like that. And so those are like the strongest elements, is just like, as long as it makes people feel like they need to like do something, like it has a reaction. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the most important idea.
And just having a good time. Yeah, that's like we write a lot of music just with that in mind, like, are people going to have a good time listening to this and like watching us perform this?
Yeah,
there's a clip from, I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary, it's called From Beyond the Mat, about like just WWE guys and like the NWO.
This guy behind the camera has.
Yeah. Okay. But there's a part where I forget the guy's name, but we just talk about this, where the guy's like, love taking a bump, love popping a crowd. They're like, why do you do it? And that's what he says. And that's like honestly what we think about a lot. We're like, we love popping the crowd. Like, we love getting people to go wild. And so when we write music, we think about that a lot. Like, oh, this will make them go crazy.
Yeah. So you're thinking about that while you're writing. You're like, this is going to make people move.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah. We're really focused on like, trying to make a good like energy.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And
Is it hard to know what's going to make people move when you're just like working things out amongst yourselves? Or is it a feeling that you have even before you play it in front of anybody? Like, there's no doubt. Like, how do people not move to this?
I would say that for the most part, when we like, we all will feel pretty like, there'll be this like moment of realization or something in a song where like all of us pretty much at the same time are like, okay, wait, this is really good. Like, it's snapping. And it's like, if we feel pretty similarly, I've noticed like when that happens, and it usually turns out that way. So
yeah, there's something powerful about a crowd moving about, you know, like as a kid that grew up going to punk shows and is known to maybe jump in a circle pit, closing in on 40 every once in a while, I'm compelled to still jump in the pit.
Gotta,
you know?
Do it.
Gotta do it. Gotta do it. But can any of you put into words like what that feeling is to see such a big crowd of people moving to the music that you've made, like thinking about yesterday of just, I don't know, you had the crowd at will. I would imagine that that's like pretty common at the shows where like you say, let's see that pit move, or like splitting the crowd in two and doing that kind of stuff is, yeah. What's it like to actually like feel that emotion on stage?
I think at least for me, like it is really fun, especially like in a place like this where it's like at our show yesterday, like there was a good amount of people who already knew who we were, and we had like friends and stuff just because we've played Boise a bunch, and so we've like got some friends here, and so that's always really nice, is you have like people in the crowd who already like you and they start moving, and it's like really fun to see like by the end of the show that like the vast majority of people are kind of like sold on like whatever's going on, because it starts out and it's like a very like 15 or 20, and then it's like 30 people, and then it's like 40, 50, and then it's like by the last song I felt like it was like everybody was pretty into it.
Oh yeah.
And I think that for me is like the most fun to watch, and that makes me feel like we're doing really good, is when I see like by the end of the show like everybody is like into what's going on, and it's not just like our people, it's like everyone is now like linked with what we're doing.
Yeah,
undoubtedly there was some strangers to your music yesterday that jumped in that pit and, or were like sweet, jumping up and down and like, yeah,
and that give and take of energy is just like the best feeling in the world, honestly. Like when you get up there and you're putting a lot of energy into the performance and then the crowd just gives it right back to you, that's yeah, the best feeling. Yeah, it's so fun.
We're thinking about moments like yesterday, Mitch, when you took over lead vocals for that track and you jumped down into the crowd and you're yes, just like a part of it, you know?
I love getting down there with the people, it's fun.
Is that stuff like very thought out, like when you guys are rehearsing, are you thinking about like moments to do that, or does it all just kind of happen in the moment for you during the live shows?
That I think just kind of happens. I will say that it will like it that's becomes repetitive. Like I have done that a few times with that song, but I don't think we ever really plan that out ever.
Yeah, no, well, because in a lot of shows that we play, it's like on the floor with the crowd, so it's like that just kind of brings a different feeling to the show. And yeah, sometimes I don't know, when you're up on a stage, it's obviously really different because you're like in a different place than everybody else
yeah,
is. And sometimes like you want to reel it back into kind of feeling like you're in a garage yeah, or somebody's house or like a backyard or something. And so when we gotta dial it in, we'll like do things like that. But I don't think we ever really plan it like when we're writing the songs. But a lot of the songs that we play, we've played a lot. And so it's just we know kind of what, you know, brings the ruckus and like what's the most fun to do in the songs that we're playing. And yeah, so as we're doing them live, we'll kind of figure that out.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine, especially with like something like a photo pit barrier, there's like a little bit of disconnect, like you're saying, like you're mm-hmm, you're up on the stage and there's a little bit of a gap between the people, so yeah, I would imagine jumping into the crowd makes yeah, you
I love or, closing the gap
or, or Jake, you going out into the crowd to set off fireworks, you know, you're yeah, you're like really a part of the common folk out there, you know. You're not just playing the show.
We like, we're a people's band. Yeah. We're a band for the people.
Utah's toughest team.
We are back in the greatest band of all time. We'll
It is funny. I don't like the barrier. I feel like it feels weird to be like, you guys have to be actually 4 feet away from us.
And yeah. above. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's fine. Obviously, like, they put the photographers in there and stuff. But it was really funny. Like, last night at Hotline TNT, the guy, there was no, like, photo, like, barrier or whatever. And the lead singer was like, these photographers are looking a little too comfortable here at the front. Like, you guys should start doing something. And I was like, that's really funny. Because that does happen sometimes where you'll, like, be at a show and there's, like, 10 photographers at the front. And you're like, you guys need a... No offense to photographers, but...
We love photographers.
Sometimes but you look gotta out. Move. Yeah, yes. But they should
keep
be,
them on their toes.
They need
though.
To be afraid yes. more. I think photographers aren't afraid enough at shows these days. Like,
they have too much protection.
They do. Well, I think they feel too safe. Like, one time we were playing a show, and I don't want, I'm not want to be too rude, but someone was, like, really in my face, and I've never had to do this before. I was like, hey, you need to move. Like, I was like, I'm not going to do this. You're, like, right here. Yeah. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, in L.A. that one time?
Yeah.
Is it, like, a thing of, like, you don't want to be expected to, like, play to the camera, or does it just feel invasive to your space?
It feels like rude to the other people. I feel like it's like, this is like, I don't know. It's just like, we're all here to have fun. And like, it's not really, I don't know. It's not about taking pictures or whatever. And so then when they're like in front of a bunch, like there's people who are at the front who like want to watch. And then it's like, you're like covering the show.
Yeah.
No, shouts out our friend Harper though. She takes a lot of pictures of us. We're using her family's van and she's the best at like, being out of the way but being like right where she needs to be.
Yeah.
And that's a skill that I think a lot of photographers at shows don't should really develop. Think about, because they're thinking about taking the picture and not like moving through the crowd and like navigating that situation.
Yeah.
You know, that's a skill in and of itself, is like knowing where to be and when to be there to take good pictures but also not be like interrupting what's going on,
thinking about the people behind you that are actually like watching the show and whatnot.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I think like I feel this way about Harper, is like she's the photographer that I notice the least, which is the best. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's like if I'm noticing them like all the time, like like in your face, but if it's like I see them like once or twice during the set. And then the pictures are, like, no better where you are if you're, like, right in front of me or whatever. I think that's, like, being sneaky is the best photographer.
Being, you know, part of the people. Same with us. Yeah. Just be a part of the people.
Ben, how long do you feel like it's taken for you to get, like, really comfortable in this role as fronting this band and kind of orchestrating this thing and having such a charismatic presence on stage?
It's definitely taken a little bit. I think it's like anything, like when you're really into something, you watch, you know, if you play football, you watch like the pros and stuff, and like
you play Madden.
You play Madden.
You understand the playbook because of Madden.
And like, yeah, I've watched a lot of different people over time and like guys who I think are really cool, and like, yeah, you know, you got to study up a little bit, and there's like, you know, you just kind of get your own idea. And I think like the front people who I think are the coolest are just, I think I enjoy people who have a lot of fun. That's what I really like to see. Like if I can tell people are having like a really good time, that's like really cool. And I also think it's good to not take yourself too seriously. Like, that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, is just like, I think sometimes we get really too serious or we take ourselves too seriously on stage or whatever. So it's like an element of that. And yeah, just like developing confidence in myself, and like these guys definitely help with that. And they'll be like, oh yeah, like do this, or like maybe don't talk so much at this part, or like, you know what I mean? And that helps a lot. And I'm just generally a confident guy too. And so that helps. But yeah, there's a lot of just kind of like pushing through that and like learning to not worry about certain things. Then also learning, like, you know, you watch other people and you're like, not to be so like, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's just like, oh, I don't like when they do that. You know what I mean? Or like, I think that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's as important as like seeing something that you do enjoy, is like watching something that maybe does feel cringy to you, or like that doesn't feel great or genuine, where mm-hmm. you're like, I'd never want to be doing that during the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like, I've seen people do that and I'm like, oh, is that what I look like when I do that?
Nah, dude. And you just look like you're having the best time, and it doesn't look like any of you are taking yourselves too seriously, in my opinion, from getting to see my first backhand show yesterday. Like, it just felt like a really fucking good time, and that it was going to be hard for me to top that experience for the for the rest of the days that I'm here.
Thank you. That's what we're trying to do.
But yeah, I think it's also just, not to answer the question for you, but just getting a lot of reps in helps a lot. And we have played a lot of shows like locally, and we try to get on the road as much as we can. And,
trial by fire.
But yeah, I don't think that you've ever like lacked any, like you've changed your stage presence over time. But it just evolves all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think you just got to figure out how you like to do stuff and like, how do you want to dance and what's like, I don't know, you know, people dance differently. And I think I was dancing like this guy for a little bit, and then I danced kind of like that, or, you know, it was just one of those.
Kind of find your own way after a while, taking from all your inspirations. And then I think you carve out your own voice over time after you, you pull what's.
Yeah,
feels good.
I think you got to copy. I mean, I think this is just like applies to everything, but I think you got to copy a lot of people for a long time before you can really feel like you know what you want to do super well anyways.
But when I see it now at this stage of where you guys are at, like it doesn't feel like it's a copy of anything
else.
It feels like unique in the songwriting to the live performance for sure.
Thank you.
What are the songwriting dynamics between the band? Like, is it generally like one person bringing a main riff to the band and it's kind of fleshed out, or is like a lot of it actually happening jamming in a room?
Honestly, both. Me and Jake will write a lot of riffs in our own time and then kind of present that to the group when we practice. But also, a lot of the times we're just jamming, trying to figure it out while we're practicing.
So yeah, it's a lot of like voice memo stuff. So we'll just bring like voice memos of something that we thought was cool, and then Matt will just like really quickly figure out something to do on the drums, and then we'll kind of structure it out. And then Ben will just like yell stuff on top of it for a while until it feels right, and then we work out the lyrics last usually.
Do you guys like work out the lyrics together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually we do, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it's like pretty collaborative, and you can all kind of get behind whatever is being said on the mic.
Yeah. We say we in our songs. I don't know if people notice that at all, but I don't know. We don't say I, because then that's kind of the idea, I guess, is like I'm speaking for the four of us. So usually I say we feel this way. Like,
okay.
That was something I don't know what it was, but we thought about that a lot when we were first writing songs too, the idea of not saying like I or me or you. We do though. It's not that we never do that, like, but it's something that we were conscious of because we just thought that it would make for more interesting lyrics. And there are a lot of obvious exceptions, but it was just something that we would think about.
And how does that process kind of shake out? Like thinking about the lyrics specifically is like, is it sometimes dominated by one person from song to song, or is it like, is everybody contributing a piece, or is it like, Ben, you write something and then you two kind of like go through it and see what things are looking like or what can be added or.
Yeah, I think like, so a lot of times what we do is we're like jamming, and then I'll think of like one line or two lines and I'll be saying that a lot. And sometimes that's like, that just becomes a song, like how I'm kind of singing this. They're like, oh, those are good lines. Like, let's just build it from there. And then sometimes they're like, that's, we don't like that. Let's do this. But usually it's like, we all write our own parts or whatever. Obviously we're like, I'll be like, hey Jake, do this thingy instead. Or like, maybe try this. Or Mitch will be like, Ben, I like it better when you did that part louder or something, like stuff like that. But we kind of all write our own parts. And then the lyrics, we all formulate pretty much together. We like sit down and write the words.
And like a lot of the times Ben's like working out the cadences, like even if he's not saying much, like he's working out like vocal cadences, and then like, that will kind of catch one of our ears when we like it, and then we're like, oh, like let's try and make something off of that. But.
And it's kind of funny because a lot of, especially our like first couple EPs, the names of songs and like a lot of times the lyrics would get built around what the voice memo was named, like in our phone. Because if you've done a lot of voice memos, you probably know like it just saves it as the address of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So it gets like really annoying to have to go through like, you know, like 608 South, 500 East, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. So I'll just like, I got in the habit of just naming it something that would like pop into my head. And so a lot of songs get built around like what that was called. Like that was Girls in the Color Guard and like Keke Alarcon and a lot of them, Sleep Sweat. Like, I would maybe say almost most of like our earlier stuff was just built around like the name of what the voice memo was. So it's usually the lyrics aren't like a something that we're really conscious about until we've basically got the song written.
And then we'll like take those words kind of, and then we'll kind of decide like what does that phrase mean, and then we'll like build it around that, even if it's like a stretch. We'll just be like, I kind of feel like this is this idea, and then we'll go from there.
What do you guys like about having that part of the process so collaborative? Because that's not always the case. Often it is the singer just writing the lyrics, and a lot of the times it's like people in the band don't even know what those lyrics are completely until like a song has been recorded and they've had some time to sit and listen with it.
It's fun because usually like when we're thinking of lyrics, we're just like, oh, this sounds cool. Like we think a lot about the way that it will come across more than like what it means to us at the time, which is fun because then sometimes people will be like, oh, this song is about this, and we're like, yeah, I guess so. But it's it is fun because then it like gives us a lot of room to be like, this is a funny thing that we've been talking about or like thinking about, and then working it in or like saying things in a specific way just so like the words are kind of like an instrument a little bit, you know, like punching harder on like certain phrases or like, I don't know, just like, I'm trying to think of how to even say this, but just it is fun to collaborate on that part. And then sometimes like me and Matt will be like dying on a hill of like, you've got to say this, even though it's so stupid. And like
one line that we really got to use, dude, that this is funny because Mitch is actually not into this one as much, but we really want to say, Holy Spirit, guide me to the end zone.
Hell yeah.
So we have lines like that where we'll be like, we gotta say this.
That's like a part of that thing of like not taking yourselves too seriously, right?
Yeah, but then Jake will end up being way serious about it, and he'll be like, dude, you gotta say Bugs Bunny opera in this song. He's like, I don't care if what the song is about. And we did say, he's like, it will be so cool if we talk about Bugs Bunny at this part. And I do love Bugs Bunny, and so we did end up using that line. But
yeah, that was one that you didn't want to say.
Yeah, I was like, that's stupid, I'm not saying that. And then there's, I said, and I was like, that's okay, I'll say it.
Do you think that's like a like almost like a fun puzzle piece to be like, no matter what the song is, just be like, we're gonna put these lyrics in no matter like if it makes sense for the song or not, you're finding a way to insert this.
Sometimes it's helpful because then you're like, now we can chart our course to Bugs Bunny opera. Yeah, and it's like, and how do we arrive there? Yeah, and then how do we get to the end from afterwards? Yeah.
So Mitch and Jake, you both came into this as guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch, you find yourself on bass most of the time though.
Mm-hmm.
Did that feel pretty comfortable from the get-go for you?
Yeah. I mean, I had been playing guitar for a while, but I was always like trying to start playing the bass. Yeah. And so like,
you had a bass, didn't you?
Yeah. I got one actually pretty funny, like just a little bit before Jake talked to me about starting a band. Okay. And then it's like, obviously I love to play the guitar and Jake loves to play the bass. And so like we do on a few songs, like switch it up. And I love that we're able to do that. It's fun to be able to go play the guitar, but yeah, I love playing the bass. It's so fun.
Yeah. It's fun to watch that sort of thing, as an audience member, I think when there's some switching around of things, not just like you jumping lead vocals on that track, but to watch you two switch between bass and guitar for, even if it's just for a song, I think there's like another level of engagement that can like happen as an audience member.
Yeah. We like that. We like that.
It's fun.
Yeah. And I think that helps in like writing songs too. This is funny, but like I did just like one time read this thing where Brian Eno was like, everyone switch instruments and now try playing. And then they're like, and now you have a hit. And then I was like, guys, we gotta do that. And that's like how we've done that like a couple times, but also sometimes we're just like, Mitch is like, yeah, I want to sing a song, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like let's do it, let's swap.
No one
it
really touches the drums though.
Yeah, we, none of us can play the drums at all. The yeah drums. Well, I must, I've tried to convince him to be like, come on bro, let me play the drums. And I'm not good at the drums at all, but yeah,
that must yeah be feel good though, to be a part of something that where it doesn't feel like you're cornered into one thing, like one role in the band, like must speak to like having some autonomy in the thing of like, yeah, Mitch, if you want to sing this song, fucking get out there and do it, buddy.
Yeah, and it, if it's fun and it makes sense, it's fun to be able to do that. And there's like, there's a satisfaction about that way of collaborating, how it's like we'll switch instruments a lot, but then also we're very involved with each other's instruments, even if we're not playing it, you know? And so like kind of it'll get chaotic sometimes because everybody's got input for each other. And I think it's pretty satisfying to be able to like make a song, because a lot of other bands are like, they're like, okay, I write my part and we're done here. They're like, you know, but the satisfaction of having us all collaborate and switch instruments and then come up with a song is pretty fun. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It's also like it was a while later on when Ben jumped on the bass. And this might sound like a dig at Ben, but he doesn't know how to like play instruments a lot, like we were saying a second ago. And so when he would jump on the bass, he would like play a riff that I'm like, that's so dumb. It's like yeah so simple, because it would just like do 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 do. But it's like something that I never would have thought of to do because it's so simple.
Yeah.
And so dude, then it's really fun.
Songs, that's yeah actually so stupid. It's genius.
Yeah. So
like,
it,
even
it's
a child
that
could do that.
That was neither to you, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty yeah much. So that made it like it is. Yeah, it's nice to like approach it from a different angle sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there was one time though when we wrote Box It Up, I was playing that like really slow on the bass, and then Jake was like, hold on. Yeah. That's just so stupid. I might be able to do something.
Yeah, there is something to that, like someone not having like a bunch of knowledge of a particular instrument, like jumping on it, that they like come up with ideas that you someone with that up knowledge would not mm-hmm even touch that territory.
Yeah,
that
definitely
is like so naive that it's great.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah,
course
exactly. That's Ben.
That's Ben.
Yeah, no, and then it bit does make me mad too, because then Mitch will get on the mic and he does good, and I'm like, oh man, it's not that hard, is it? Nah, just kidding. Mitch definitely brings like a different vibe too mm-hmm that I think is good, and it's also really nice to have Mitch sing, because I get really tired, honestly, especially when we haven't played a lot. Like, I get too excited, and then I move around too much, and then I get out of breath really fast after like one song.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get up there and do one song on the mic. Like literally yesterday, I almost passed out.
You're going just hard. Like, you're going
well,
hard.
Yeah, it's just like, it's also so difficult. It's exhausting.
Sometimes you just get too excited. I actually chipped my tooth yesterday.
Just slammed the mic into
just
your
slammed
tooth,
the mic into my mouth too fast. And I've actually done that before too.
Caught firework debris right into
yeah, so yeah, there's an SM58 somewhere on True 4 with a piece of Ben's tooth.
Yeah. Somebody's going to get a cold sore for sure.
That's incredible.
I have used mics before, and I was like, oh, hell no. This is going to give me a cold sore. I literally have a cold sore right
what's
now. So you
got
to throw
thing
this away.
I will do that. The green one needs to be burned after
yeah
this.
Yeah, well, just like, I'll literally use a mic. I was like, this is so dirty. There's no way.
Some mics can smell crazy.
Dude,
some mics smell great, honestly.
Good.
It's a booger. That's what it
great
is. Does MF Doom have a line about somebody left a booger on the mic?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that sounds
no, it is crazy, dude. Sometimes you'll come to a venue, and I'm like, bro, have you ever smelled your microphone? This thing smells crazy. And then one time, this was kind of weird of me, but like, this girl used a mic before me, and she got lip gloss on it, and I was like, honestly, the mic smells great right now. And I like didn't put together that's why, and they're like, you're being weird. And I was like, oh yeah, like that is kind of weird to say. But I was like, for some reason the mic smells awesome.
Well, the live show is killing.
Thank you.
What is it like trying to harness maybe that energy that you feel at a live show and transferring that onto a record? Like, is it any more difficult to like bring that raw.
That's hard for us. Yeah,
that's been one of our biggest.
I would say that's
obstacles.
Our greatest struggle.
Yes, is trying to translate the live energy into a recording. It's not easy, but
we've been working on it.
Yeah, do you feel like it's gotten easier over time, or like thinking about like this the big game?
Yeah.
Record, mm-hmm. the first full length from the band. After doing a few EPs, do you feel like you figured something out before kind of putting that one together?
Yeah, we worked with our good friend Denny Fuller on that one, and he was like really aware of that because we had talked to him about it, just that like we had had a hard time translating like the live show experience into what you listen to, you know? Because that was something that I would like kind of get bummed on our own music sometimes, because I'm like, man, this song is so cool and fun when we play it live, but listening to it right now, it's like just kind of falling flat for me. Which luckily, I mean, like a lot of people are less critical of it than I am, or than we are, because all of us have felt that way. But he just kind of helped us like flesh it out more and add like little things here and there that make it more interesting to listen to. So that was a direction we went in a little bit with the big game, was we were like, it's never going to sound exactly like it does live, so we might as well add like accents and little details and stuff, even though we wouldn't be able to do it live. And just putting a lot of, I don't know, I think that when you're working on something like that, if you're like putting a lot into it while you're doing it, in some way that will kind of transcend the recording a little bit, you know? And we were all just like having a lot of fun and like putting a lot of, I don't know, just, I hesitate to say energy too much, but that is what it was. We were just like putting a lot of ourselves into the stuff that we were doing, like adding things into it. And I think that that helped. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's also like important with the style of music that you're playing and like the spirit, like in capturing the spirit of the live show, is it sometimes when you're making the record about trying to not necessarily strive for perfection and just making sure that it like feels really good?
Yeah, we've always, when we record, we pretty much will record everything live, like all at once, all the instruments and even the vocals a lot of the time, just all at once, like go at it, because we have a hard time playing over each other's stuff like after it's been done. Like if we do the drums first and then the guitar and then the bass, it just feels like disjointed.
The energy like goes down a lot, especially in the vocals. I think like I always notice that when I overdub vocals, I sound like just kind of half-assed, almost like not even on purpose, but there's literally been times where I will be like, you got to turn my mic down. So I'm like fighting to hear myself a little bit more, just so that, just like in the recording, I've done that. Not really live, because that sucks live, but
just a struggle sometimes to not be doing it with the band behind you.
Yeah, just like if it's behind me, then I feel like part of the vibe is you're like fighting to get on top of the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that definitely gives it like a little more kick in the recording. But
sure.
And also it's nice too, because our friend Denny, big shout out Denny Fuller. He's actually plugged me up with some work too. I made a lot of money because of Denny. He put me on the chauffeuring job. That was sick. But he's also just like a very, like truly a musician. And he's like, dude, that guy plays like the piano, bass, guitar, trumpet. Like I've literally seen him be like bass around his neck, like trumpet taped to the mic stand, and then like shaker in his hand, and he's like playing the trumpet and doing a shaker, and then like goes straight back to like playing the bass. And it's like, dude does it without even blinking.
He's
and it's crazy. He's like a very talented guy. And so it was nice too, just cause like what Jake was saying is we could be like, Denny, can you play trumpet like right there, and be like, and he would be like this, and it'd be like the exact same thing.
And just someone else in the room that like you can really trust with your ideas and like maybe someone that can help you see something in a song that wasn't there for you guys.
Yeah, definitely, because he looks at music differently than we do, for sure, and he's got a lot of experience in areas of music that we have no experience in. But all of us enjoy like pretty much any kind of good music, so it was really, really helpful to have input coming from somebody who's like approaching different problems in ways that we never would have thought to approach them.
And we felt like he definitely understood like all that we were trying to do. And so,
yeah.
And he's like good dude to have a laugh with, you know. That's
good
like
hang.
The,
he's a good
like
hang.
Maybe one of the more important things is like, cuz we spent a lot of time with him, so like going over to his house and just like joking around and stuff was really easy. And it would have been a major league slog if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it was funny because the place where he had a studio, that building, they were like tearing it down or something. So he had to move his studio into his house, and his wife had like had a baby pretty recently. So there was times where he's like, "Fellas, I can only work today if we watch my kid too." And so then we would like put like stuff over his baby's ears sometimes. Or there's like a lot of photos of us like holding his kid while he's like working on stuff for us. It's like pretty funny.
Yeah.
Group babysitting. Free babysitting.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in too, but yeah, the baby's just sitting with us.
Well, I think you guys do a great job of capturing that energy. Like,
oh,
listening,
thank
like
you.
Listening to the records, like I feel like I get, for not being able to see a live show up until yesterday, like I was just as into the records as watching like live videos. And
that's great.
That's awesome.
And maybe
that's
that
really
helped
nice
like inform like
nice
what was happening. Like getting to see those videos, I think was like really nice to kind of like see what the spirit of the live show was. But like I found the music first through the live through the like recorded music. It wasn't a live show that I got to see, so it was
awesome.
Just as like it drew me in just as much as the live show.
That's really cool.
That's cool to hear, because honestly I feel like that's the part of us I'm definitely the most critical of, is I'm like, if only it was as good as where we are live, which like I think we're still like a little disjointed there. Just, it is really hard because I feel so confident in our live stuff. So it is really nice to hear someone who's like, no, the recordings are great. Cause
yeah, it's killer.
I'll go back and listen to it. And some days I'm like, this is good. And then some days I'm like, I hate this.
We're on some Juice WRLD shit, pulling things off of like streaming services. Like, that's no good.
We're done with that one now.
Yeah. No, there have been some songs where like, we got to get this offline immediately.
Where do you guys feel like you, from when you started this band and to where you're at now, where do you feel like you see like the most growth within the process or like what you guys are doing together?
Me personally, I'll say this. I feel the most like I feel the best, and I feel like we're growing the most or whatever. Like when we go to a city and there's like a couple people there in like our t-shirts, like that's really cool to me. Cause like we've only been really like touring maybe like 2-ish years, like just DIY stuff. But it is cool to like go back to San Diego and then like 5 dudes know the words to our songs, and I'm like, that's pretty sick, honestly.
Yeah.
Like we played here 2 times, and now like you're here with your friends and you're stoked about what's going on. And even like those 5 people, like that's way cool, man. And like coming here, it's cool too, because there's this kid named Angus, and he's always way stoked when we come here. And it's funny too,
he covers one of our songs.
Yeah, his band has covered one of our songs, which is way sick. But it is really funny too, because then when people are like so stoked on you, you end up just kind of like, you're like, yeah, I know you. Like we'll go and talk to him every time we see him now. But it is just funny. But that's to me, that is like where I feel the most like, oh, like something's really going on here.
Yeah. As far as like growth, it's funny that we keep circling back to this, but it is like one of the main ideas of what we do is just having a good time. And so I've just like started to, I have more fun like every time we play shows. Like it hasn't ever worn off really. And so just, and then figuring out how to like have a really good time and also perform well.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten better at that.
And we've also definitely made a lot of progress just within like writing songs. Cause it's like, we're all pretty passionate, and we'll say if we don't like an idea, or we say if we really love an idea, and we're very blunt and like,
even if it makes me upset.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get upset sometimes, but like we've gotten a lot better at like, managing that and like making it feel like everybody's kind of got a creative contribution, but then also like being honest with what you like and don't like.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten a lot better.
And figuring that out has also been something that we've grown into, in the aspect of like, as we're writing something, being like, this is going to be great, or this is going to be okay,
yeah,
or this is bad. because at the beginning, like I was saying, we were kind of all over the place. And I think this is true for like pretty much any band ever. But we've gotten a lot better at not holding on to things that even though it like might sound cool or we like an idea about like something that's going on, we've gotten really quick to figure out like this is going to be a dead end like 6 hours later, so let's just cut it off right now.
And it is a four piece, so it'll get split down the middle sometimes, and that's definitely like a tough problem to navigate, but we're good at it. So yeah.
I think most of the time though we're kind of like have the agreement that like if one of us doesn't like a song, then we're like we just toss it, because like if we're playing a song live and like one person doesn't like it, it's gonna like ruin the vibe kind of.
Yeah.
If someone's like clearly not stoked about it,
yeah,
that will just kind of throw it off. So it's like unless we all really love it, honestly, we don't. We like toss it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to be as a band when you're when the honesty is there. I think that's like when you start making really good shit together. Like when you're able to just be like, I don't think this is the right thing, but you give the space to explore the idea still.
Exactly.
But just to like get there is, I think that's. That's solid. Also, was it Cam that filled in on
yesterday? Huge shout out, Cam.
Aside from playing a killer set, because Jake, when you're like, our drummer's not coming now, I was just like, wonder what that situation is going to be like.
Yeah.
But I think it's very cool to have gotten to see Cam was singing along so much yesterday to your guys' songs. And I think that's just like a testament to people being stoked on your music. And I know that dude's not like actually in the band, so to see somebody just step in and know the words, like I think that is like just such a cool thing to see.
Yeah, no, he stepped up and made it happen for sure, because like Matt decided not to come basically like when we got here, because it was still up in the air if Cam was going to do it or not, but we asked him the day before we came, and no, I concur that it is really awesome to see that like there's people around that. And there was, we had like another dude that was like, I wish you would ask me.
We had a few options. We were very lucky.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well. And shout out to Cam's other band, Crush the Monster. They're way sick. I don't know if you guys have seen them. They're cool. They're like, what did he call it? Like cowboy doom metal.
It was like
or something.
High desert psych metal or something like that.
It's crazy.
They're playing here too?
They're playing on Sunday. We already saw them on
They played
Thursday
the other night, right? Yeah.
Yeah, on Wednesday night at Neuralux. They're sick though. It's just like they're like way technical.
They're way better at their instruments.
They really are so good. And those guys are playing like 15-minute songs, like no problem, no mistakes. Like each transition is seamless. You're like,
yeah, my ass was like, maybe we should like shorten Blitzkrieg Bop a little bit.
we're banging rocks together.
What do you guys like about playing a cover in a set? I thought that was cool that you guys played that. Like, it was. I thought it was rad. But is there anything in particular that is like, yeah, we should definitely include this and not just play all of our original tunes?
I think it's a good way to tie in people. Like, circling back a ways to when you were talking about there were strangers out there, like when there's people that haven't heard any of your music at all, when they have something that kind of like connects them to what you're doing. We like covering I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor because people know the words to that song, you know, and so it's like if they are unfamiliar with everything they've heard so far, even if they like it, when they hear something that they are familiar with and that's a song that like most people know, it just kind of like bridges a gap, you know? And so we like to do that. And we like playing songs that are like a little bit further from what we do because I feel like it has a broader sweep. But sometimes like Blitzkrieg Bop is...
sometimes you just got to pad the set. Because Kim has 2 days to learn nine songs.
That's also fair. Also
and making like our slight own version of a song, which basically usually means dumbing it down, is really fun.
Taking it down a peg is the backhand
way.
Yeah,
we cut corners on covers for sure.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm very stoked I got to chat with you guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. This is awesome.
I went way back in our Instagram DMs, and I was like, oh man, that sounded really fun. to talk to that Dan Cable guy, and that's when I messaged you again.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm glad we got to do it. Thank you for making time for me. Of course. Love your band so much. And
Thank you so much.
I love it even more now after getting to actually be in the crowd for a live show. And I will be the person next time I see you guys for a show. I'll be in my backhand shirt.
I grabbed one of those yesterday.
I was like, yeah, I got to be one of those people. Absolutely. I'll put all the links in the episode notes so people can keep up with your band and find wherever you're playing.
Hell yeah, the podcast.
You can find backhand music wherever you listen to music. You can get cassettes. Yep. You can get CDs. Yeah, you can get yourself a t-shirt.
On our Bandcamp.
Guys, we end every episode of the podcast with the guest saying the tagline for the show, which is, it's a program. And it means nothing. It's just the way that my grandfather says program. He always says program. Nice. So it's just a goofy way to end the show. It's the one time I'll ask you guys to look into the camera.
We'll do it.
And you can deliver the backhand. It's a program. However you would like to do it.
Together.
However you guys want to do
I'll count us down.
It's a program.
They nailed it, everybody. That's backhand from Salt Lake City. Utah's toughest team, the greatest band of all time, and God's favorite band.
All true.
Hell yeah. And that is the Jelly Jams, and we will catch you on the flip side, Treefort, Utah, Portland, wherever you are listening from. And I want to play the episode out with the track that introduced me to your band, which is Your House or Mine, one of my favorite tracks. So we're going to play it out with that one.
Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.